We're now starting a final section of Chaburas, women. Okay? We're going to be doing two sugyas here about women. We have women in the army, and we have women in Talmud Torah. Let's start with women in the army, okay? What is this based on? What is women in the army based on? So first of all, we have a Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara completely derech agav, nothing to do with the context of the Gemara. The Gemara literally throws this line out almost parenthetically. The Gemara says, the darko shel ish lasos melchama, the ein darko shel isha. It's very, very tangential. It's
proves that the word melchama,
correct. Male. We're not talking about the context of the Gemara. But the Gemara, but the Gemara says Lamaisa that men go to war and women don't. In the Gemara in Nazir, the second source, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov asks, "How do we know that a woman is not allowed to go out with it with a weapon to war?" There's a pasuk in Parashas Kisi. Lo yechli gever al yisha, lo yilbash gever simlas yisha, which means the Gemara says, "Shelo yisaki nish betikune yisha," that a man is not allowed to dress like a woman, and vice versa. Rashi. What's the source, according to Rashi? Rashi and Nazir says, Rashi has to justify a story in Nach. There's a story in Nach that seems to fly in the face of this din. We just said that a woman is... Okay, the din by Yael, right? The story by Yael. Who's Yael?
She killed Sisera with the tent.
Yael killed Sisera with a tent peg, right? Right? A tent peg.
She gave him warm milk and put a tent peg,
right?
Which story is this?
It's the Sefer Shoftim, right? Shiraz Devorah. Beginning of Sefer Shoftim, Pasuk says, "Matosem esama keves beraka." So, right, the Pasuk says in Sefer Shoftim, she stuck a tent peg in his temple, in his head, and killed him. Fine. So, what's the question? What's the question that Rashi is going to address? How could Yael use a tent peg? Isn't that a weapon? Didn't we just say in the Gemara Nazir that a tent peg? Ah, says Rashi, that's not a weapon. Rashi. Rashi says, you're right. You know why Yael couldn't kill Sisera with a sword or any other normal way of killing a person? It's because she didn't have a weapon. Because she's not allowed to have a weapon. She's a woman. So what does she use? She has to use the only thing that she had. A tent peg. She has to resort to using a tent peg.
Whatever works.
Ah, so that's what Rashi says in Nazir. He has to be justifies the story. Well, hammer is not a weapon. Hammer can be used as anything can be used as a weapon. It's not objectively a weapon. You don't go out to war holding hammers. You go out to war holding swords, right?
It's similar to an axe, hammer axe.
Okay, but I'm saying, but a hammer is not used in that context. Even an axe is not used in that context. It's actually used to chop wood, not to hack people to death.
That's not true.
You don't
in Scotland.
You don't walk out to war holding axes.
Yes, you do in Scotland. You do.
Well, in Scotland, they're crazy. Fine.
Never play medieval war.
The Gemara in Yevamos is a very famous Gemara. The Gemara makes the following distinction. There is a din, we know there's an Isra Doraisa for a Jewish person to marry for a Jewish woman to marry a man from Ammon and Moab, right? But for a woman, for an Ammonis or a Moabis, there is no Isra.
What? Moabid.
Correct.
What is that?
The Torah says,
"Can't marry them anyway. They're not Jewish."
Meaning, if they convert,
actually, they convert.
Well, that's a big machlok.
I feel as though it goes.
Well, that's a big machlokas between Rabbi Yitam and other Rishonim. It's a big machlokas between Rabbi Yitam and other Rishonim about whether the Isra to marry all these Isure Kal, people can't marry the Kal Yisrael. Does that mean Dafka when they're Ammonim, Moabim, etc.? Or even after they convert to Judaism, maybe they're only allowed to marry the people who are within their creed, whatever you want to call it.
How do you explain the fact that you can't marry them before they convert? Of course you can.
No, meaning maybe the Torah is telling you, don't marry them when they're not Jewish. Maybe that's what the pasuk means. Meaning, you
can marry other non-Jewish people.
No, you're coming from a biased pre-knowledge perspective of knowing that you're not allowed to marry non-Jews. But how do you know that? Meaning the Torah tells you. So one side is Torah tells you don't marry them because they're not Jewish. Another side is that no. Of course you can't marry a non-Jew. It means even when they convert, you can't marry. That's a much bigger issue, right? So the Gemara says, what's the shot? Why can't I only not marry a man from Ammon and Moab? But if a female Ammonis who wants to marry a Israel, that's okay. What? Why is that true? Yeah. Has nothing to do with
the army.
What?
With the army. Because women can't serve in the army. So
okay, so you're getting close. You're getting close. You're getting close. The Gemara in Yevamos makes the following distinction. What does it say in Parshas Kisei? It's saying, You know why? You know why we Amon Amor can't marry Klai Yisrael? More than that. He gives us bread and water. But the women, the Gemara Nibamu says, that darka shel ish, that's normal for a man to go out and to go help other people. But a woman called Kvuda Basmela Fenima, a woman is supposed to be tsanua, she's supposed to stay indoors, and therefore they're not faulted for not giving bread and water to the Jewish people. Oh, one second. They're not faulted for not giving bread and water to the Jewish people, and therefore. What?
Not faulted for not.
No, they're not. Meaning the women are not faulted for not having brought out the bread and the water. Meaning to say that it's okay because they weren't expected to do that. They're supposed to stay indoors. That's what the Gemara in Yevamos says. Okay? That's what the Gemara implies. Now, there are a number of comments on the Sefer HaChinuch in different contexts, in different mitzvos, that are going to shed light on this question regarding a woman going out to work. For example, the first one on the bottom of 166, Mitzvah Tov Chafei, we have the mitzvah of Mechias Amon, the din of killing Amon. Okay, so the din of killing Amon. Is that a mitzvah on men, women, everyone?
Everyone!
How do you know?
Because Shaul got folded for not doing it.
That's not a good right. They're doing it on men.
Shaul, no, everybody. What are you talking about?
You mean Shaul was folded? Yeah, Shaul's a man.
But he was commanded to
prove to me that women are also chayav to kill Amon. Thank you! Torah says, Lo Tishkach. Women are chayavos in Los Asses. So since there's a law to not forget Amalek, which is directly connected to the mitzvah.
I thought you meant the Shalom.
It's fine. It's connected to the mitzvah.
You went to the woman, like,
yes, correct. Oh. So it's connected to the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. So therefore, obviously, women are going to be chayavos. Now come to Sefer HaChinuch, quoting from the Rambam. And he says the following. Some people may have the following misconception. You know there's a din that certain halachos that are not what are called nohig ledoros. They don't apply for all generations, so people think, which correctly so, but these don't apply for all generations. So then, they don't apply to, you know, future generations, they don't apply to women, they don't apply across the board. If, for example, the Torah says there's an isser to leave over the mun passing that you get it. Obviously, that isser doesn't apply anymore because they don't have the mun. Right? So that's called dinat horas shah. So the Rambam says, one may have argued the following. We don't have Amalekim anymore. We don't have Amalekim. So one could have argued that maybe the din of Mechias Amalek no longer applies. Sounds like a pretty sensible argument. Says the Rambam, it's not true. The Rambam says you misunderstood what the term Nohig Ledoros means. Nohig Ledoros doesn't mean that I have to have a practical method to be able to fulfill the obligation. It just means that theoretically, if there was a situation where I ran into an Amaleki, I would kill them. As opposed to the Mun, where the Mun just doesn't exist. The Mun never existed ever after it fell for those years. Here, it's not a question of, can I do this mitzvah? The question just is, are there Amalekim around in the world? That's the only question. So therefore, this is a Din Ledoros, and it applies equally, at least according to the Sefer HaChinuch, to women. In the next Sefer HaChinuch, which is what exactly 100 mitzvahs later, it's a tough kuf chafei in Pai Shoftim, there's an Isra Dioraisa. The Torah says a person is not allowed to be afraid during war. There's an Isra Dioraisa. A person, that's a different halach. Torah says when you're in the middle of fighting a war, you're not allowed to be scared. Now again, you ask the question, how do you control your emotions? Da 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 da. We're not talking about that one. The Maisa, the din is. Again, you guys are mixing in a different halakha. It's a different thing. The person is scared of the other thing he did, so go ahead and send them home. That's true. It's a machok is what it means. But that we're not talking about that at all. We're talking about I'm in the middle of war right now. I already passed all the Kohen's tests. I have no Averos, I'm not scared. But now I'm in the middle of fighting a battle, and I see people getting killed all around me. Torah says you're not allowed to be scared. You have to go fight. Why can't you be scared? Because it's a chisar in your amunah. Because you don't believe that Kohen's Baruch Hu is going to save you. Again, that's talking about this other day, right?
Hold on. But then you might not.
Yes, but you're not allowed to be scared of death. When you are going out to fight for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not allowed to be scared. Even if you die, you're not allowed to be scared. Even if you know you're going to die, you're not allowed to be scared. It's a din. You have to. It's an issue of Doraisa. Well, yeah, correct. Again, the Torah says, don't be scared when you go out to fight. Who does that issue apply to? It says the Sefer HaChinuch. To men. because men have a chiyuv to fight. Women don't have a chiyuv to go out to war. So obviously, this secondary issur, which is a branch of nochama, obviously doesn't apply to women. Okay, good. Page 167. The next thing. This is relevant to what all you guys have been talking about before. The din of a kohen meshuach melchama. There's a halacha that by war you have to appoint a kohen whose job it is to get everyone psyched up to go out to fight. He says Shema Yisrael, right? He gets everyone. What? He is the pundit speech before going out to war. So that din, the din of a kohen meshuach melchama, yes, applies again to males. The zecharim have to make sure they have a kohen meshuach melchama, not the males. Then, and the next bit's a tough kuf chazayin. Shemir Akhenek says, what about there's a din? You have to send, you have to offer peace to a city before you attack it. You have to give them the option of surrender before you just walk in there and kill everyone. That's a pasuk in Parashat Shoftim. So again, that din only applies to the males because the males are the people who are fighting. What about the din of Lo Tishkach, what we mentioned before by Amalek? So he says that if you violate, if you don't remember Amalek, so you're mevatel the asay, and you're in violation of the law of Lo Tishka, right? And then in Tafresh Dalid, he talks about the mitzvah of wiping out Amalek, and then the Minchas Chinuch points out that even though it sounds like from the Sefer HaChinuch that it's not a mitzvah sasesha, it's not a grama to wipe out Amalek, but he says it's really a Torah Sofer, and really the din is that that women are not chayavos in that. Now, the Gemara in Sota and a number of other places has a very strange comment. When the Gemara is talking about the din of a milchemes mitzvah, when you're going out to fight, again, we're not talking about what defines a milchemes mitzvah, that's a little bit complicated, but l'maisa, you're fighting a milchemes mitzvah. The Gemara has the following expression. It says, afilu chasan mechupaso, bekala mechupaso. The Gemara says that a milchemes mitzvah is so significant that everyone, including a chasan and a kala, have to go out and fight a milchemes mitzvah. A kala, what's a kala doing fighting a milchemes mitzvah? Do we just say, according to Nazir, correct. So what is the kala doing fighting Amalek? So kala is the zecher simcha. He says, stop reading so much of the Gemara. It was just a figure of speech. It doesn't really mean a kala. He says, ashigra the lishna. Stop, the Gemara is just kind of throwing words out. Doesn't really mean it. Okay, that's one answer. What? Comes the Avni Nezer. A fascinating tshuva, guys. Page 168. The Avni Nezer, a wild tshuva. The Avni Nezer tries to explain to you why the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek is actually a mitzvah sasesha hazman grama. Can anyone think of why Mechiyas Amalek would be a mitzvah sasesha hazman grama? What does that have to do with Hazman grama?
Well, it's only the time that you know to get there Amalek.
Tell me how. You're getting a little closer. I know the Gemara knows that Gimel says, but what does it have to do with this?
If you're in a country that's also
That's my grandma. Give me a svara why killing Amalek would be a mitzvah sasesha as my grandma. Again, that's exactly what the rabbi said not to say. Remember, because as long as there's a theoretical possibility of killing Amalek, what's chat? Is there ever a time when I'm not allowed to kill an Amaleki? Torah says there's a tzibui. What? Shabbat! Thank you. Says the Avni Nezer, you're not allowed to kill Amalek on Shabbat.
Now,
what's the shot here? I don't understand. Killing Amalek is a mitzvah d'oraisa, right? Shabbos is also a mitzvah d'oraisa, right? So what's the shot? And by the way, just stop. Aside from leaving aside Lo Sirtzach, because again, Lo Sirtzach is obviously not the problem, right? Why? Because not only is Lo Sirtzach not a problem, I have a tzivu, I have a chiyuv to kill Amalek. So we overcame the Lo Sirtzach problem. So what's the problem? What's wrong with killing a person? Let's say I have a different situation. You're not allowed to administer Arba Mises Bezdin on Shabbos. Why not? Why can't you administer? Meaning the guy's Chayim Misa. I'm not violating Lo Sirtzach. He deserves to be killed. Okay, so you're all saying good svaras. So maybe there's a Soveya issue. Maybe, right? The Gemara in Shabbos Ayin Dalin, according to Rav. You know why you're not allowed to do Shechita on Shabbos? We all think because of Shechita. According to Rav, you can't do Shechita because it's Soveya. You're coloring the neck of the animal. Molechas Soveya. Hashem Shad is Shochet. Mekilas Neshama, right? There's another issue with Arba Mises Bezdin on Shabbos, by the way. It's an Isur D'Rabbanan to judge court cases on Shabbos. Isur D'Rabbanan, you can't... Okay, different issue. The Mishnah Brura talks about how if I lock a person in prison on Shabbos, that could be a violation of Tzad. I trapped him in prison. I locked him in prison. That's a discussion. Maisa, The joke wasn't funny. The first, second, third, fourth, fourth time. So, Yavi Nezer says that it's a mitzvah sasei shazman grama because you can't do it on Shabbos. So now, if killing Amalek is a mitzvah sasei shazman grama, what does that mean? Women are not chayavos to kill Amalek anymore, right? It's a mitzvah sasei shazman grama. However, there's a distinction between Amalek versus the Zion Amun. There's a different mitzvah. The Torah says you have to wipe out seven nations of the living earth. So if they don't back down and surrender, you have to, and you have to offer the peace. According to the Rambam, by the way, you should know, the Rambam holds you have to offer peace to Amalek as well. Many of you don't assume that way, but the Rambam thinks that you can't just go and kill Amalek. You have to offer them peace first, and if they refuse, you kill just with the other seven nations.
You can't assume they're not going to... Can you assume by Amalek and
the according to the Rambam, you need to offer peace to Amalek the same way you would offer peace to any other nation before you go in and kill them. When it comes to the Zion Amun, the Torah says, Lo sichaya kol neshama. The Torah says you're not allowed to let live any of the Zion Amun in Eretz Yisrael. If they surrender and want to leave, that's fine, that's okay. But they cannot live in Eretz Yisrael under their own jurisdiction. You have to either kill them, drive them out, make them surrender, or they're going to be shuma to you as servants. And he says, one second. Correct. He says, listen to this far, the Adonis, it's crazy. You know what the Adonis says? What happens when you kill a person from the Zion Amun? Why would you kill? What's the smart why you would kill someone from the Zion Amun? What's the point? I mean, obviously the halacha says don't let them live. But what do you accomplish? What do you accomplish when you kill someone from the Zion Amun?
They're going to try against
Lo Selam Dun La. You're removing the negative influences of those seven nations, right? That's the whole point of the mitzvah, is to get rid of that negative influence. So you know what the Avinazer says? When I kill a person from the Zion Amun, it's the equivalent, the Gemara Shabbos Daf Gimel, of Harigas Mazikin. Let's say there's a snake or a scorpion or some sort of dangerous animal that I'm afraid is going to kill me or bite me, whatever. So the din is, I'm allowed to kill that animal on Shabbos. Why? Because it's Sakonas Nefashos. But more than that, when I'm killing an animal, right? Let's say I kill a snake because I'm scared it's going to bite me, or a scorpion because I'm scared it's going to bite me. What did I just do? What malacha did I just do? Shochet, right? Pashukhet. You just shochet. You killed an animal.
By a snake, it's not going
to
bleed.
Forget about bleeding. Killing an animal. I killed an animal because I didn't want the animal to bite me, right? So, that lechora, that's called shochet. Why would that not be, forgetting about the sakana issue, why is that not called a malacha? Even if there's no sakana, why is that called a malacha? Good. What's that called in halacha? Ayoko Shabbos? No. If I'm killing a snake because I'm scared it's going to bite me, I don't really care about. I don't really want the snake. I don't. No, the other word, not that one. The one before, the step before that. What? Malacha sheni tzrich legufa, right? What does that mean? What's malacha sheni tzrich legufa? I don't want the snake. But most of the time, when you kill an animal, why you kill the animal? I'm killing an animal because I want to take its hides. That's called the malacha tzrich legufa. I'm doing the malacha because I want the hides of the animal. When you're killing a snake, when you're killing a scorpion because you want to get rid of the animal, that's called a malacha she'ina tzricha legufa. I don't want the animal. That bumps it down at worst to an isher drama. It's machlokas legumara. We paskin like Rav Shimon, malacha she'ina tzricha legufa is patur. Now, here, because it's a sakana situation, so therefore, we have room to be making. And again, says the Avi Nezer, when you're killing people from the Zion Amun, it's the equivalent of a malacha she'ina tzricha legufa. Why? Because the only reason why you're killing them is to drive them out and to not be negatively influenced by what they're doing. So that's literally the same thing as a malacha she'ina tzricha legufa. Okay? That is what the Avi Nezer writes. Now, going back to a comment we made before. Remember, guys, what was the very odd lashon from the Gemara and Sot that we quoted before? Even the kala, mechubasa, has to go on a fight. So the kashmi said, what do you mean, kala? How could you go on a fight? So the Radvaz, in Hilchos Malachim, asks, how are the women going out to fight? What happened to the din, the pasuk in Tehillim, called kivuda basmelas panima, that women are supposed to be tsanua? What happened to that? So he says, of course, the Radvaz says, no. Of course it's not pshat that the kala is going out to war. That's ridiculous. What pshat of the Gemara? Since the chasa leaves, his chuppah has to go fight. So Ramela, the kala, is left by herself and doesn't have a full-fledged chuppah. It's not saying the kala goes out to fight. It's just saying that she loses her regular chuppah that they would have had before. And the Radvaz and other Rishonim suggest that maybe these women are going to support and sustain the war effort. They'll help make food for the soldiers. They'll try to fix up the roads. They'll do all sorts of things to help out in the war effort without actually going out to fight in war. Okay.
That's only from
what? Good. If it's Muhammad Shushus, then they're for sure not going out to fight. Hush it down. Moshe, guys, the bottom of 168, has a fascinating tshuva. Moshe was asked the following shaila. Let's say you live in the Kush, or let's say you live anywhere in Israel where you're afraid you're going to be shot by arrows.
You're talking about a
person had, oh, can a woman carry a gun for self-defense?
Yeah.
What? Well, I don't know why you're living in Shad, but yeah, whatever. If you live anywhere where there's like a Shad, that you're going to be in danger, so says your Moshe, of course you can carry a gun. What's a shaila? What's a shaila? What do you mean? You say a woman can't carry a gun? So says your Moshe, no. A woman cannot carry a gun to go out to war. Why? Because carrying a gun to war is beged-ish. That's what a man does. A man carries weapons out to war, and a woman doesn't. But carrying a gun for self-defense is not nearly the same thing as carrying a gun to as holding a gun for self-defense. Now, so he says. So Ramosha says, of course, there is going to be that hetzer. And Rabbeinu Bachai in Parshas Kisitzei on this pasuk of Lo Yechli Gever Alisha, bottom 169. Says that a woman cannot go to war because that leads to znus. Now I'm just going to point out to you, we're not going to read through, I'll just make a couple of haras about this last Maramaka with the Sugya, Rav Avadya is discussing a fascinating, very relevant shaila regarding women's chiyuv in Parshas Zachor, right? Parshas Zachor, we know, L'chol Adeus is Doraisha, right? Everyone agrees that Zachor is Doraisha. The question is a woman obligated to hear Zachor? What would be the svara to say that a woman is not obligated to hear Parshas Zachor? Because she's not, well, right. So, if you think about it for a second, though, this whole sugya is a throwback to what you spoke about. Is a woman chayav to kill a malik? Well, that seems to be a big machlokes. Meaning, that would seem to depend if you assume killing a malik is misasesh as my grammar or not, right? If you hold the avni nizers, then yeah, then a charam. But if you hold the other rishonim, it sounds like, right, say for a chinuch, sounded like it was, yeah.
I feel like the main reason a lot of them are saying is because it's a begging issue, but doesn't that change with the times?
That's
like,
true.
Okay, you know, let me put it this way. It's sort of funny. Like, without getting into like conservative and like Reform Judaism, like, isn't it true? Like, let's say in every single country in the world, like it became commonplace for, like, as army becomes less about like physical strength and more about intelligence, whatever. Like, women started going in the army and started carrying guns around. So now the baguette turns into not a baguette, just a baguette. So then it would like it's almost like. Would you then be allowed to do it? Like, it's not reform or conservative like everyone else doing
correct,
it. Like,
no,
it
know,
almost changes the style, so therefore maybe
this is a question in general. In general, halakha, when things change, how does that fit into the, you know, what we call normative halakha? It's a little bit complicated question. It's hard to answer, also because Begadish and Begadish are very subjective. Right. So you're right. It's
literally subjective.
Yes.
Subject, right.
It is. It's very hard to pin down and say, oh, it's this and not that. You're right. It's a hard thing to say.
Like,
but yeah.
Oh wait.
Never mind. Okay. So guys, we'll just make a couple of haras about this point about Parshas Zachor. Rav Avadya notes that one of the reasons why you would think that a woman is not obligated to hear Parshas Zachor is because part of the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek is about arousing a sense of jealousy and hatred towards Amalek, and that din is not shayach for women. That's what he claims. And again, this is going to be a throwback to the thing we just spoke about, whether women are really chayavos to kill Amalek or not. Okay, so that, again, Rav Avadya has a lot of points about this, but that's what we'll leave for right now. Okay, so that is...